This is Will's Band of the Week for May 22nd, 2016. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Nicholas from an undisclosed location in a car.
It's true. I'm sitting in a car.
You're always in a car.
In my own driveway.
Okay, I guess you just disclosed, well, you generally disclose the location, but the podcast listeners do not have your address, so.
No, I'm in somewhere in the northern suburbs of Melbourne, Australia.
That's close enough, I think.
Yeah,
so there's a theme, because it seems like every time we do a podcast with you, you are in your car.
Yeah, and a lot of the times I seem to be on holidays somewhere else, but I've realized that the car is quite a nice little sort of, it's a safe space for me. No one can come and disturb me. Our little son, Fox, won't, he doesn't even know I'm out here, so I'm at home, but... if I was inside the house, there's always a chance he might just like come and start banging on the door of whatever room I'm in or something like that. So it's a little bit more, away from everything. And we're thinking of selling this car soon. And so I'm not sure if I should keep it as a sort of a memorial to, you know, Will's Band of the Week, where they'll have it in the museum of, what would they have it on the, you know, is it, I'm going to say the Smithsonian Museum. Is that?
Yeah, that's where it would be, I think. So, yeah, you know, I think another option would be if you sold it and then you listed it as the car from which several Will's Band of the Week podcasts were recorded,
yes.
You probably would at least double the value, don't you think?
I think so.
At least.
I'd need to get a certificate of authenticity from you, though, Will.
Right, yeah. No problem. We'll do that. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, I think I remember when it was summer in Australia, you were like sweating because you had the windows closed, and you basically you almost died for the podcast.
Yeah, and yeah, I had like a hanky that I was like wiping the kind of like walls of sweat that were coming off my forehead, and all my pants were sort of soaked. And it's definitely not summer now. We're coming into winter, so it's actually a bit cold in the car right now. So. Not so stinky.
And it's early in the morning where you are, and it's late in the afternoon where I am. So it's always an interesting challenge to decide when we're going to record these things, right?
Yeah, it's like 10 to 7 on a cold Sunday morning here in Melbourne.
And it's 10 to 4 in the afternoon on a very warm Saturday afternoon here in Madison. Yeah.
But hey, that's rock and roll, man.
It is. It's totally rock and roll. So... well, we've got fun stuff to talk about this week, I think. So maybe we should start with, let's start with this. I have a live report.
Cool.
Just last night, I went to see Savages.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a fan of Savages, but here, I'll give you the quick review of Savages Live.
Okay.
Incredible. It was unbelievably great. How's that for a short review?
That's pretty, so you liked it. You liked it a lot by the sounds of it. I have heard a couple of their albums. Yeah.
So I loved their first album. It was, I think, my number one of the year about 3 years ago. Their second one came out a few months ago, and it's not as good. But live, they have actually gotten better. They are just at the top of their game. Their singer, her name is Jenny Beth. She is, you watch her and it's like, you feel like you're watching a rock star. She's just completely in command. And, she was diving into the audience. I mean, it was just totally nuts. It was great. So I highly recommend people to see Savages if you get the chance.
Did you have a good position in whatever sort of venue it was?
Yes, it was at a place called the High Noon, one of the venues where we see a lot of bands here in Madison. Capacity of 400. They sold out, and my wife and my son Reese went also, and they both really enjoyed it. So we were probably the only family of three at the show. And I always have this thing where I'm looking around to see if I'm the absolute oldest person there. But there was a guy behind me that I think was a little bit older than me, so I felt good about that. So, it was just great. So
cool.
Yep.
So it wasn't like you guys had, you know, like a little round table, sort of like 4 feet from the front of the stage, and you're the only three people sitting down, and the rest of the venue was all sort of standing up, and you were trying to sort of eat your, you know, fish and chips.
Yeah.
And your children-sized pizza or something like that. Hey, come on, stop elbowing me. I'm trying to eat here.
Right. Something no, I think we blended in. We blended in okay. And the opening band was pretty interesting, too. They're called Head Wound City. And they are a kind of a screaming band, you know, one of those. And I listened to their album once beforehand, and I thought, no, I don't know. It's very energetic and fast, and it might be fun live. The album didn't grab me that much. But then it happened. Live, they were just completely different because it was fast and loud and good because all the musicians were good. And the little trivia about them is that the guitar player from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Nick Zinner, is in the band. So he's one of these New York indie rocker cool guys. That's what he is.
And is it like that everyone kind of knows this band because it's got the guy from the Yeah Yeah Yeahs in it?
I think nobody knows the band regardless. But they know the people from Savages, and so
right.
Like, hey, tour with us. And they were very much worthy. The drummer went just nuts. The drummer was just going crazy. One of those things where you're watching the band and you keep saying to yourself, I don't know how that drummer does that. Pretty good. And
yeah,
I
really like watching drummers play. So it sounds like you like that as well.
Oh yeah.
Do you ever have a drummer to watch that can sort of be enough?
Absolutely. Have you ever seen a band where the opener is just so energetic that you're wondering if the headlining band is going to seem like a letdown?
I wish I had like a really amazing story where that happened. Back in the 1992, you know, Radiohead, they opened for the Coburg City brass band. I think I have to think about that one, but nothing's jumping out at me as that being the case.
Well, I was thinking about it last night because they were just, the opening band was just going nuts, and I'm like, boy, how do you follow that up? And then just Savages was ridiculously good. It wasn't a problem. So, all right, that's it. Oh, and I have one music news, sort of a music news item. And this relates to the discussion we had a while ago. I think it was the end of your podcast that you were on, and you were saying that Brian Johnson was your live performer of the year, right? And then I think we mentioned the whole deal with him like being forced to retire because of hearing loss. So the follow-up is that they hired Axl Rose from Guns N' Roses to be their singer on their current tour. And
that's true.
I was watching a video of one of their performances, and it was unbelievably terrible. Have you seen the videos of this?
I have seen a little bit.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Axl Rose,
kind of funny because
he broke his leg, so
yeah.
he's sitting in a chair, but they put this giant chair so it looks like a throne, and then his leg is extended out and he's sitting in this chair singing the songs. It looks just absolutely ridiculous. I just think it's unbelievably bad. That was just my reaction. I don't know. Can you imagine like sitting through a whole performance where the singer is sitting in a chair? I don't know. It's just not good.
It's kind of hilarious. I actually think that he broke his foot like just before the Guns N' Roses reunion, which was bad enough that he had to perform sitting down. But yeah, I kind of feel a bit sorry for Angus Young of AC/DC because his band's kind of falling apart. Well, it's sort of fallen apart, really, hasn't it? He's, you know,
yeah.
His brother Malcolm can no longer play because he has dementia, sadly. And now Brian, you know, I think when your lead singer has to leave because they've gone deaf, and then the guy that replaces him is in a wheelchair.
Yeah, right.
Maybe the writing's on the wall.
Yeah, yeah, that is bad, isn't it? Maybe they just finish out this tour and then call it quits. I don't know. Yep. Oh, well. It's like a sports player. Like, some go out gracefully and retire when they're still doing okay, and some just keep playing until they're just not good anymore. And
oh, well. I think the people who have been able to see AC/DC with Axl Rose singing, it's kind of like a bit of a one-off thing. So years from now, it'll be like, oh, wow, you know, you got to see that gig. So, you know, I think they're doing a few shows in America or in Europe or something like that, but I'm not sure that it's going to keep going with him singing. Who knows? But, you know, it sounds like kind of such a wacky kind of thing. It would be kind of fun just for the randomness of it, Axl Rose in a wheelchair.
Right, I guess so. And it, as long as it's not being sold as, like, he's our new singer, like, permanently. Not that anything's permanent, but, you know, to aging rockers.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. If you view it that way, I think you have a very good way of seeing this in a positive light.
So. Well, you can't take these things too seriously.
Right, that's true. Yep. Yep, well, do you have any music news or live reports or anything of that nature?
I don't. I've just been busy trying to feel prepared for the music that we're going to listen to and talk about today. I did have a quick search of. Do you ever search like the Google search I did this morning was, I think, deaths in music this week.
Oh,
just to check,
mm-hmm.
See if there was anyone, and it came up with one person who was Guy Clark. Does that guy
right.
Does he mean anything to you?
I read it too, but I don't. I'm not familiar with him. Must be a country guy, right? If your name is Guy Clark.
A country guy, yeah.
I don't know.
His one of his hits was Desperado's Waiting for a Train, which I do know. That song. Do you know that song?
I don't think I do. I don't know. I'd have to hear it to know whether I know it. I was thinking about this the other day. How many songs do you know in your head? Like, how many songs are there that you would recognize? And I was thinking, okay.
That's a great question. I think about that a lot, too.
Because I have an iTunes library that has over 20,000 songs in it. And so,
yep.
Presumably, unless I just randomly saved a thing, you know, there might be like 100 of them that I don't know what that is, right? Or even that I wouldn't be able to name the band or whatever. There might be 1,000 of them. But I was thinking that if you think about the like growing up and listening to the radio, it's got to be 100,000, right?
Yeah, I reckon it would be at least that. Because if you think of all, so you've got all of your collection that you've sort of bought or, you know, you've collected yourself sort of purposefully over, you know, over your lifetime. So you know those songs really well. So obviously they're sort of right in the memory banks.
Yeah.
Then if you think you could just pick any artist, like say if I said like Belinda Carlisle, you probably don't have a Belinda Carlisle album in your collection. I wouldn't hold it against you if you did, but you probably don't. But if a Belinda Carlisle song comes on the radio, like I can like sing almost the whole song.
Yeah, is that amazing?
So you know, yeah. So there must be so many songs that you've heard at some point, maybe for a little while years ago, and they're all still in your memory banks. So I reckon it would be at least 100,000, maybe and maybe a lot more.
Right. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I just did a search for Belinda in my library, and I didn't have anything. So, I don't know. I thought there's a chance that there'd be, like, one hit, you know, minor hit that she had. But nope, no Belinda. And that was a great random artist that you came up with there.
Yeah, she's one of these people who are sort of like, I'm sure that I really despised her when I was, you know, when I was about 15 and she had hits on the radio. I'm sure I probably thought, oh, this is the most terrible thing in the world and I just want to listen to Skid Row.
Yes.
And but nowadays, if it comes on the radio, I'm like, yeah, actually, this is, you know, it's just a pop song. It's fine. It's nothing wrong with this. It's kind of cool.
There are a lot of things that are worse. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have just tons of great music to talk about this week, right? Not
it's
tons,
true.
But we have three bands, and so let's talk about them. Now, Barrett, who might make it here, but we don't know yet, so we'll see if he makes an appearance. But in case Barrett might make an appearance, we will. He had a choice for a band to go last, so let's start with your other pick.
So we're going to talk about Lucy Dacus, who I don't even really know how I discovered her. She just kind of seemed to appear on a list of artists that I was kind of checking out. Anyway, I just sort of really liked this album of hers that she has released in the last couple of months called No Burden. And I guess it's, I've kind of enjoyed just sort of finding an artist that I have no previous connection to. I hadn't heard her, on radio here in Melbourne or anything like that. And I just really liked it. And I've been listening to it a lot. And I think it's a great album. I think there's lots of great tracks. There's some great video of her and her band sort of, doing one of these sort of like live in the studio sort of performances that you can find on YouTube. I don't know. Should we just start with a song and start chatting from there?
Yeah, let's do that.
Why don't we go with track 4, Strange Torpedo?
You got yourself a bunch of bad habits. Not hard to see that love is a weakness. Seems to me the way you understand it is that you're never gonna make it happen. I get smoke in my eyes every time I try to look you in the eye. And do I even know what your face looks like? It's just the cloud of smoke in its place. I'm trying to tell you something
Lucy Dacus from Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
So that's cool that you, isn't it great how like worldwide music discovery can be?
It's true. And so I asked my friend Luke a couple of weeks ago, give us some of your favorite new releases. And I was trying to like find some particularly Melbourne artists. He gave me a whole list of artists to check out, and I thought, and I, then I like texted back to him, hey, I really like Lucy Dacus. And then I realized, oh, you hadn't even suggested that person, so I don't even know how it kind of popped up. But it's a bit strange in that way. But yeah, you're right. It's great that these, you know, you can sort of suddenly access all this stuff really easily. And she seems to be certainly getting some recognition in America. Like, she was on the sort of Rolling Stone, top 10 artists that you need to know about at the start of this year, and recorded this album in Nashville. Apparently only sort of over like 1 or 2 days she went into the studio and recorded the whole album, I think mainly with a bunch of sort of Nashville studio sort of session guys.
That's a thing you can do as opposed to moving to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom, right? You can go to Nashville and maybe not move there, but find a studio there.
Yeah, yeah. So, and the music sounds great. And I guess you can kind of have a bit of a think about that as you're listening to it. It's really nicely played, and I think that kind of, Lucy Dacus was sort of saying she basically went into the studio with these songs and she hadn't even really rehearsed with the band much, and they just sort of arranged them in the studio and put it all together. But I suppose in some ways the sound of her voice and the way that she sings is quite sort of separate to the music that's going on. And I don't exactly know what I mean by kind of separate, but that idea of them being sort of like hired musicians who came in and just worked out some really nice parts, sort of went along with her songs, you can kind of hear that a little bit maybe. She's only 20, so...
I didn't realize she was that young. Yeah. I'm a fan of the general idea of the singer-songwriter kind of expanding into a band. I just think that's a good thing. And sometimes people can find their friends to play with, and sometimes they can't. And sometimes, maybe a studio or record company or somebody finds a band. I don't think that's necessarily all bad.
Sounds good.
So, all right, I'll make a pick. I'm going to pick the song with the most interesting name. It's track 2, Troublemaker Doppelganger. Lucy Dacus. So Nashville doesn't just do country, right? That's got kind of a grungy sound in kind of a good way, right?
Totally. And it's a good, I'm glad you chose that track because it's a good example of her music that makes me really want to play guitar.
Yeah.
And some of my favorite music, I guess, has that kind of effect. I listen to it and I'm like, oh, now I've got to go and pick up my guitar, and, just puts me in the mood to actually play some guitar.
Yeah, definitely. Electric guitar.
Sorry, go on.
I was just saying electric guitar, which is cool, right? Anybody can play acoustic guitar. Not everybody can actually plug a guitar into an amp. No, it just doesn't get done often enough, right? Acoustic guitars are great, but there's something about an electric guitar.
Yeah. Yeah, that excitement's there. And I mean, I think one of the things, well, there's lots of things that I like about Lucy Dacus. And I suppose emotionally, I kind of feel like it's got a sort of a soft intensity to it. That's probably the best way I can sort of describe it, because her voice, you know, it's not harsh at all, but I think the combination of the music and you know, her lyrics are really really like her lyrics. I feel like, you know, if I'd written out some of the lines that I'd written and then I'm like quoting her lyrics, I always feel like I'm a bit like, it kind of makes me like a know-it-all, like I kind of like, oh, yeah, I know her lyrics really well. Like this line that I really like, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not even going to quote any of the lyrics, but I did really like the lyrics, and I guess it's nice to have an album where the more you get into it, the more you pick up on the lyrics, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's just kind of another aspect of it that I really liked about her songwriting. Definitely. And her voice is great. I mean, I don't think the album wouldn't be anything really without her voice, but it always sounds really effortless.
Yeah, and she's got kind of a, I don't know if deep is the right word, but there's like a lot of body to it, right?
Yeah, no, I think deep is a good word for it, because it's, yeah, I mean, it's, you kind of want to say that she's got a low voice, but maybe it isn't at that low. So it is kind of like it's got a deep kind of quality. But it's great. It really works in this style of music, I suppose. And she's almost got one of these voices that's sort of like, well, she could probably just sing anything and it would sound really good. It wouldn't really matter what words she's singing.
Well, let's play another one. Do you have a pick?
Yeah. So we might play track 3, Green Eyes, Red Face, and have a think about what sort of soft alternative rock singer from the 90s this might remind you of, a male singer.
Lucy Dacus. Not only Lucy Dacus, but guess who else is here? Barrett has arrived!
I am here. Yes.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
You?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. I feel like it's, you know, we're in an AC/DC rehearsal and Axl Rose has just been wheeled in.
Right. Yeah, yep. Pretty much. Pretty much.
We need to have, it'd be fun to have Barrett just propped in a chair. Even when you broke your foot, when you broke your foot, Barrett, they just fixed it.
Right.
And you were just right back.
I can't even remember coming in here with my crutches and stuff, but I must have done that.
You must have. Yeah. No, you didn't. We didn't have a big throne for you like Axl Rose has.
Does he?
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Okay.
They have him propped up on stage in this gigantic chair. Yeah.
I see.
So we were just talking about Lucy Dacus, and Nicholas apparently is going to tell us what 90s singer that last song reminds him of, which I'm not going to come up with it.
I was thinking Jeff Buckley.
Well, there's a reason I wouldn't come up with that, because I've never listened to Jeff Buckley.
Okay.
Is that sacrilege that I haven't? Because I've heard of him a lot, but just haven't heard of him.
No, it gives you a little project to work on this week.
Okay. Barrett, have you listened to Jeff Buckley?
Yes. There's a lot of it out there, but really the only thing you want to start with is Grace. That's his only album. He's got EPs and live stuff and whatever, but that's the one.
Huh. All right.
So, yeah, I kind of thought there was a bit of a kind of a musical and, kind of connection there, I suppose. But, you know, the listeners can decide for themselves.
We're so cool that we let people decide for themselves. So, all right, I did a little music journalism while we were listening to the Lucy Dacus tracks.
Yeah.
There's actually a Wikipedia page called List of Deaths in Rock and Roll. So somebody did this, and it goes chronological. So the very first death in rock and roll worthy of this list is Cecil Grant, who died at the age of 37 on February 4th, 1951 in Nashville of pneumonia and a heart attack. Pneumonia and a heart attack. That's a bad combination.
These are rock and roll deaths?
Well, it just says, it says rock and roll. Hank Williams is the second one on the list. He was only 29. It's pretty young.
See, I think that a list of rock and roll deaths can't have people that died before the agreed upon advent of rock and roll, right? Like 1954.
All right. Well, then that would be Johnny Ace, who died.
I'm going to go with him.
Johnny Ace died at the age of 25 on December 24th, 1954, in Houston, Texas, by an accidental shooting.
Wow.
Bad luck for him. Anyway, so, and it goes up. The Prince is the most recent one it lists, and it has the cause of death blank. Mm-hmm. So, yep. So,
yes,
there you go.
Pending the autopsy report, right?
Yep, I guess so. So, well, okay. Have we said enough about Lucy Dacus?
I'm not sure how much was said, because I just got here.
Sorry, go on, Barrett.
I'm going to shut up now.
Well, I really liked it. There was another track that I wanted to play a bit of, but I know that we've got a lot more music to get through.
Well, this podcast is unlimited, right? We could go on for 2 hours if we want. So let's just play the
last bit of one of another song.
Let's do it. Yeah.
So there's a track, track five, Dream State, and I was hoping we could go listen to the second half of it from about 1:48. Because it's kind of a good example. Like, it starts off quite minimally. It's just electric guitar and her voice, but then really sort of builds up with the whole band. And as the lyrics and the chorus develop, I really liked it. So I guess you don't get the full effect, just the center part of it. But I thought, hey, let's listen to the second half, and kind of you can hear the kind of musical climax and the musical development a little bit more.
All right, here it is.
Washed it all away, it left me with nothing to say. Could not believe my eyes, I could not recognize your face in the rubble. I
Yeah.
Very nice. Did you guys play the last song on the album?
No.
It's got the same chorus.
Yeah.
That's very unusual.
It's nice to have those connections between the songs.
Yeah, absolutely. Did, I don't know if you dug into the lyrics anymore and uncovered other connections between those two songs or not, Nicholas, but I did not.
No.
But Nicholas does have all the lyrics memorized, but he didn't want to show off by quoting them. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that song that we just listened to, I was thinking, like if I was on a really long bus trip somewhere, I'd like, get the window seat and listen to that song just on repeat, just as I sort of like daydreamed as I watched the world go past on a bus trip. Do you know what I mean? It had that kind of vibe to me.
Yeah, it totally does. You can picture it being like a movie soundtrack for a bus ride. Yeah, I really think so.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. You talked about a bus ride, and I thought, bus ride? I haven't taken a bus ride in a long time, but one thing that's unique about that, when you're driving, I mean, you can kind of daydream, but really, you need to focus, right? And if you're a passenger, you kind of have to talk to the driver. But when you're in a bus, I mean, you can really turn off your brain, right? And just space out and right. Watch the scenery go by.
Yeah.
Or a train or a plane.
Different vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hey, thanks. That was definitely a that's going to be high on my list of albums of the year, I reckon. Really liked it.
All right, good. Let's talk about the new Rogue Wave album. Rogue Wave are indie rock veterans, and I remember seeing them across the street from Barrett's Coffee Shop about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long time ago, right?
That was a long time ago.
Of course, when you're as old as us, 10 years isn't really that much.
Right? No, it's a heartbeat.
But they, I thought they were really good, like for the first two albums, and then for about the next three or so, they weren't that good. And this new album is a little better, I think. It's not 100% great, but it has a lot more good stuff on it than I think their last few. So I think it's worth playing. It's called Delusions of Grand Fur. So let's start with a track. I'm going to start with track two, In the Morning. Rogue Wave. It's kind of a catchy pop track, isn't it?
It is catchy. I'd kind of forgotten what they sounded like.
Yep.
That harkens back to their old sound, right?
Yeah, it does.
What say you, Nicholas?
Well, yeah. Look, there were some songs on this album that I liked. And I feel like Is it sort of a Will's Band of the Week tradition to sort of like pick bands that are like the band that you're talking about sound like? Is that our sort of default?
Yeah, I think
thing
it is
to sort of do yeah. to yep. make us feel like we're good rock journalists,
right?
So I think that song wasn't a good example, but there is a band who I reckon a couple of tracks really reminded me of a particular album that was popular on this podcast a year ago or more.
Should we play a song and see if the listeners can get it?
Sure. You could do either track 4, California Bride, or track 7, What Is Left to Solve.
I've got track 3 as California Bride.
Okay. Yeah, go with California Bride. And this was a good, I quite like the how this kind of started off with just quite normal strummy guitar part, but then the second guitar part is kind of a little bit interesting and sort of makes it sound good. So check out the guitar, but then have a think about which band this might sound like.
Rogue Wave.
I'm coming up empty. It's, I don't know. I mean, it sounds, you know, there have been many things that sound like that, I guess, but I can't pinpoint what you're getting at.
So in the theme of sort of full disclosure, I feel like I put a lot of pressure on myself to always say like something really good on this podcast and, you know, do a really good job with, you know, the sort of analogies or, you know, how I'm sort of like thinking of a band and stuff like that. But it's almost always whenever I say something or choose a track, whenever I'm listening back to it as we're recording this, I kind of think I'm always sort of like doubtful that I've made the right choice. I'm always thinking, oh, maybe that wasn't the best example of this thing that I'm thinking about this band. So almost always happens. I don't know if you guys ever find that. Maybe you just
I find that all the time. Yeah. You know,
so. Anyway,
I try to never say anything that's incorrect, and that way I never have to second guess myself.
Well, there you go.
If you're just right all the time, that's not a problem.
No, right, I'll pick a song, and then it'll be like I'll realize it's the worst song on the album, and then I have to apologize. Or I really like the acoustic guitars on this, and then it's like an a cappella song or something.
All right, who is it?
I felt that.
So the band was War on Drugs that I thought they sounded like.
Interesting. You did it again. You were wrong again.
Yeah,
Nicholas.
I'm not sure if it's like the melody or kind of something about the tone of his voice or even like the drum sound. I'm not even really sure, but it kind of just sort of reminded me of the vibe of some of the songs on that last War on Drugs album.
It definitely has the same kind of a groove and the same kind of tempos.
Yeah.
It's a little poppier, though, right? I think Rogue Wave sounds kind of like the Posies sometimes, right?
Yeah.
You know, 90s kind of, I don't know, how do you describe that? I guess that was jangle pop, right? Is this jangle pop? It's not really that
jangly.
Not very jangly.
It's like the Posies were a little more powerful than this.
At times they were.
You know?
Power jangle, I think they were.
Power jangle.
Their official genre.
That's a good one. Power jangle.
Yeah.
All right. I'll play one more. The last track is pretty good. It's called Memento Mori. It's Rogue Wave, and the album is called Delusions of Grand Fur.
Mm-hmm. So, that show that you were at 10 years ago at the Annex, right?
Yeah.
Did we know each other then?
No, I think we were both there, but we didn't know each other yet. That was with Not a Surf they were playing. Remember that?
Okay. I think they played there twice then.
That could be.
They came back another time.
I saw them when they were like sort of co-headlining with Not a Surf.
Yeah, okay. I remember that.
Of course, you can't really co-headline. Somebody gets to go last, right?
Right. So you got to make the posters, and somebody's got to be on top.
Yeah. I think Not a Surf got the billing of the band that gets to play last.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there might have been a third band, but I can't remember anymore. So sorry, third
too.
Band. Yeah. Yep.
Hmm. But when they came back, we had a band across the street at the coffee shop. I was trying to remember what they were called, but I can't.
My Morning Jacket.
Nope.
It wasn't them.
No, but they knew Rogue Wave, so Rogue Wave came over and talked to them after the show.
Oh, so like, they...
Oh, wow.
So Rogue Wave partied at the coffee shop, too.
Well, they walked in the door.
Yeah, that's close enough.
I remember seeing
that's
them there.
That counts as partied if they walked in the door,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
See, Barrett's holding back. He's got probably more great stories of rock stardom that he doesn't tell us about.
Oh, yeah. It's, boy... Talk about all the famous people that have been in there.
You should have, like, in your tile in the floor, there should be stars in there that have fans' names.
I had a list. It used to happen a lot. The Hold Steady came in.
Hmm.
That was cool. Remember Tapes and Tapes?
Oh, yeah.
They came in.
Didn't Guided by Voices ever stop in?
I don't think so.
They, because they played over there a couple times. Yeah.
So...
Could you have like a special shelf like behind the counter where you've got like the used coffee cups of like all the indie rockers who have
Ooh.
Come in? So like, you've got like the, you know, the big mug that the, you know, the guy from Rogue Wave, all that was the Mugicino that the bass player from Red Wave.
I like that.
But still dirty, you know, so you can see the little bits of froth from the mug of tuna around the top.
What if they left like an inch of milk in there? What would you do? Let it go, right?
Yeah, you let it go.
Eventually it would stop smelling. It would just be completely dried out. And
it would just be like a film at the bottom of the mug. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
I like that.
All right. It's another great idea. We have so many great ideas. So before we go to the last band, let's do a little fun exercise. One of you pick a date. Anytime in the 80s or the 90s, just pick a specific date, and I will find the rock and roll death closest to that date. Okay?
Ooh, okay.
Name a date, Barrett.
Well, let's say 30 years ago today, May 21st, 1986.
May 21st, 1986. Okay. On March 31st, 1986, O'Kelly Isley Jr. from the Isley Brothers died of a heart attack. He was only 48. And then on September 27th, 1986, Cliff Burton from Metallica died in a traffic accident at the age of 24. Wow.
That's a long period there where everybody was in good health.
I think you have to be in a pretty famous band to make this Wikipedia page. All right, Nicholas, you got another one. You're gonna take us all to Melbourne with you, right?
We are, yeah. I really tried to make an effort this time to find a Melbourne band to talk about. And so thanks to my friend Luke for hooking me up with this band, Camp Cope, who they've sort of like, you know, they've become really popular really quickly here. Their album actually ended up in the top 40 here in Australia, and they've only been together for less than a year. And I suppose I end up choosing, you know, any band that I kind of bring to you guys, I basically like them. So I definitely like them. I definitely like this album a lot, and I've been listening to it a lot. And I think there's a lot to listen to, a lot to talk about, and I'll be really interested to hear what you guys think. Maybe we'll just kick it off with a song. And as we hear this, it's probably a good example of musically what I, one of the things that you might want to pick up on is that says a three piece. So vocals and guitar, but then just a bass player and a drummer. And so the guitar is often, or you always sort of just playing the chords, just strumming chords, but it's actually the bass that is kind of almost doing like a little melodic kind of lead sort of line throughout a lot of these songs. So it makes it kind of just an interesting kind of flavor. So you can hear that really well in this song. So track 3, West Side Story. Out from inside my head.
Camp Cope. Yeah, that was definitely, that made me focus differently listening to that when you mentioned how the bass is the whole kind of backing melody, which it is. Mm. That's interesting. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I liked it. I liked it too, quite a bit. I tried to do some research about them, and there's been very, very little written here. It's just like, you know, the Australian version of Rolling Stone and some local stuff, but all Australia. Really, I haven't seen much that's written about, been written about it here. So we are introducing them to the United States.
Right.
In a sense.
So maybe this will, I don't know if it's going to be a comparison that is becomes better or worse as the as we play more tracks, but is it just because it's a woman from Melbourne that I inevitably think of a Courtney Barnett comparison, or is there something to that? I think
there's something to that.
Vocal wise, there's a similarity, right?
Yes, sounds a little like her and another person who I'd never even ask anybody to guess, but it sounds a little bit to me also like what the hell's her name? Beth Orton. Do you guys remember her at all?
Right.
Yeah.
She does sound, I think, like that.
There is a little bit of that. Yep. Now that you mention it.
Yeah. So I mean, these are like three sort of young females from Melbourne. I guess asking some of my friends about this band, there seems to be. Well, a friend of mine, Cam, was saying this band is kind of divisive. So some people are right on board, and they sold out their recent. They just launched this album in Melbourne about a week ago. So in true form to what I normally do, I usually discover things sort of like, you know, way later than everybody else. So I certainly missed out on a ticket to their launch, but they are doing a couple of gigs coming up. So hopefully I'll get to see them. So a lot of people really into them, and a lot of people are just, they're not kind of really, not really sort of, understanding why they're necessarily so popular. To me, they sound really similar to a lot of, alternative or kind of indie rock that came out of Melbourne in the mid-90s. So there was a band called Something for Kate who are still around and still popular in Australia. But their first few albums that came out in the mid-90s sound a lot like this band. But that's 20 years ago now, so it's kind of interesting that these are like people in their 20s now are making music that to me is like, oh, yeah, that's like Something for Kate from, 1996. So I don't know if you kind of get any of that kind of mid-90s slow alternative rock vibe from this band at all.
Yeah, I think I've got one, a comparison. Remember Betty Servirt?
Sure.
Where were they from? Sweden, maybe?
Denmark,
maybe? Somewhere in that part of the world, I think.
Scandinavia, I think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or there's an American band called Bedhead they sound a little bit like, too.
Mm. Wow, that's good. Good obscure reference. All right. Barrett, do you have a pick to make from this album?
Yeah. First of all, I want to comment on the kind of provocative name of the album. Or not the name of the album, but the picture on the cover, which is of a young girl in a hospital wrapped in a bandage. And, I'm not sure what that's supposed to say. And then some of the titles are also rather provocative. So I'll pick one of those called Jet Fuel Can't Melt Steel Beams.
Alive!
Kemp Cope. Yeah, I think I want to play bass for this band. That's great, right?
Be right up in front, spotlight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like John Entwistle a little bit, right?
Right. It's about time the bass player got the spotlight.
Well, it's another band who made me want to pick up my guitar. So there's definitely an excitement in their music that has that effect on me. So that's what I love about music sometimes.
Yeah, I like how natural and just organic it sounds. It's just, you know, aside from the fact that the bass is kind of playing the lead, it's just simple rock combo, right?
Yeah, they didn't do complicated overdubs.
No, and it's just basic and honest and catchy and checks off a lot of boxes for things that I typically like. So I like this.
I like the whole album except one song, but we'll talk about that later. So, but there are two other songs that were my two favorites that you guys didn't pick. So I have to decide which one to pick. I think I'll go with track two, Flesh and Electricity. Kemp Cope, brought to you by Nicholas from Melbourne, Australia.
Yeah, and it sounds really Melbourne. So for those of you not living in Melbourne, that might want to know, I don't know, Melbourne feels to some of us. I suppose that music to me sounds, it's got a real Melbourne kind of sound. And that doesn't mean that like all the music that comes out of Melbourne sounds like that. It's more of a, like an emotional kind of vibe, I suppose, to me, that somehow taps into, you know, the kind of the urbanness and the greyness and the, you know, changing weather, you know, the grey skies of Melbourne at times. Georgia Mack, M-A-Q, is the singer and I guess main songwriter. And she's got, I think she was putting out music as a solo artist before this band. And I wrote down a quote from her in a recent interview, and she said, as a person living with depression, I find it difficult to express my thoughts and feelings to others, and that's where their songs come into play. And I suppose I thought that was interesting just because she kind of mentions going on medication and stuff like that. And I guess that idea of sort of living with depression, I think kind of comes through in the music. And the other day I spent sort of an extended period of time listening to this album and watching some clips of the band and stuff like that. And after a while, I was like, oh, I think I actually need to have a bit of a break from this, because it's definitely got a sort of an emotional intensity that I really like. But after a certain amount of time, it's sort of like, oh, I just have to kind of step out of this world for a little bit. So that's a kind of a good and a bad thing, I suppose. But, you know, I still really like it.
Wow. That's good analysis there. I don't know what else to say.
Yeah. You know, if an album can put you in a world, you know, that right. You can be absorbed in, that's great. As long as it's not like a world that turns you into an axe murderer or something.
Right.
Right? Like, well, here's an example. I was talking earlier before Barrett came over about the show I saw last night with Savages and the opening band, Head Wound City. And the singer had a Ministry shirt on. And mm-hmm. I think about Ministry, and that's an example of a band that they were so dark, and as much as I've liked a lot of gloomy music, they went too far for me. It was like, this is a world I don't want to put my mind into. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Ministry, but that's how I always thought of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I liked Ministry at one point, and there was actually, it was probably about 20 years ago, I had my wisdom teeth out. So I went to the dentist, had, you know, my wisdom teeth ripped out of my jaw.
And listened to Ministry.
And that night I went to a Ministry concert.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
So wow. it was an incredible combination of sort of my aching jaw and this incredibly live, intense Ministry performance. But I seem to remember enjoying it. But I remember my I'd come home from the dentist's that afternoon, and I must have been visiting my parents. I'd moved out of home by then, but my mum was like on the phone to the dentist. I think she was trying to make a follow up appointment or something like that. But my mouth was still, I couldn't actually talk, so I was trying to sort of say to her, "No, I can't go then because I've got to go to see Ministry." And I had to write it down on a piece of paper so that she understood what I was saying to her.
That's good. All we have to do is name a band, and Nicholas will have a story, right?
I think you're giving me way too much of the benefit of the doubt, but
I think so
thank
too.
Thank you.
All right. Anything else on Camp Cope? I think we're all giving that one a thumbs up.
You did mention, Will, that there's one song in there that you did not like, and you're going to let us know.
Okay, I'll let you know. The last song, I think it has kind of a generic rock riff, you know, that I've just heard too many times, and it goes on for over 6 minutes. And I'm kind of like, no, you didn't have to do this. Just don't even do it. So just stop the album after 7 tracks instead of 8. And it's stronger, I think. Just my opinion.
I kind of liked it.
It sounds like a... there's some Paul Westerberg, a replacement song, right? That has the same riff. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to come down hard on an album that I like a lot. So that's just a passing mention there.
Is it unfair to talk about this riff and then not play it?
I guess it'd be unfair, wouldn't it?
should we just play a little bit and then we can come back and
okay.
maybe we can play another track in that we all like.
Okay. Yeah, that's enough.
Okay,
I think
I know the song that you're thinking about. It's Here Comes a Regular.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds just like Here Comes a Regular.
And it also sounds like Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Yeah, that too.
Right?
Yep.
But I think those are two good songs.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah, and maybe it's got good lyrics too, and I just didn't listen closely. But then I think another thing is, like, I wanted it to do something, and it just keeps strumming like that for 6 minutes. You know, bring the band in and start rocking or something. So
I'm going to go back to Nicholas's image of sitting on a bus and staring out the window. I can see doing that with that song. And then there the repetitiveness becomes a strength, I think.
I'm sure there's a Belinda Carlisle song that reminds me of as well. Will, can you help me out?
I can't come up with that one. But
yeah.
It's out there somewhere.
Heaven is a place on earth. Yes.
That's got to be the one, right? That's the only
Maybe
Belinda
they all sound like that.
Yeah.
All Belinda Carlisle songs. I don't know.
Well, did you want to leave us with a different track from this album, Nicholas?
Is that okay? Is that indulgent?
Yeah, that's what we're all now. About. We're all about indulgence on this podcast.
Hey, so tell me, track 7 is called Stove Lighter, and there's a lyric in it. I am going to sound like a know-it-all now, I'm quoting lyrics. So there's the chorus bit says, we still have to light the stove with a lighter. So that means I can get a clear picture of what they're talking about, but do you guys... do you understand what that's about? Am I being?
I don't know. Does that mean they're just dealing with a stove that doesn't have a pilot light and they don't have enough money to get it fixed?
So they're just using like a cigarette lighter to light their gas stove.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got out of it.
Yeah. See, I don't want to assume that like everything's the same in America as it is in Australia. But there you go. There's a good example of me just sort of saying something that's really obvious and like making it sound like I'm sort of like revealing something really interesting. But it's sort of like, you know.
You know what the more sort of more dramatic example in the same vein is? It's people using their oven to heat their apartment, right? So you turn the oven on and just open the door. So you hear stories about that. That's kind of more depressing,
gosh.
Right? That's more depressing.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, let's play some of Stove Lighter. Yeah, that's a good one. Solid album. Camp Cope.
Yeah, I think at the moment they're kind of the darlings of the Melbourne indie rock scene. I really like them. I guess like anything, some people like them, some people don't, but there's certainly lots of people in Melbourne who are right behind them and are kind of celebrating their popularity, I suppose. So hopefully they'll keep going on to make lots of great music, and hopefully I will get to see one of their gigs over the next couple of weeks, and I'll let you know what it's like.
Great. So they've made the next step by being on this podcast. And the next milestone will be getting a gig in Madison, Wisconsin, right?
Right. This is kind of like the Ed Sullivan Show for right. them, I think.
Yep.
They'll talk back, back to their appearance.
If they have just three members, they could play at the coffee shop, I think.
They could, and they could also fit in here.
Yeah.
Well, we have two extra chairs if Chris isn't here, and then one of them can, I'll stand up, let the other one sit.
Live from Fourth Bedroom Studios. It'd be like, the series of KEXP or whatever, right? Yeah. It'd be kind of cool because they could put an amp in the bathroom, you know? There's a bathroom in Fourth Bedroom Studios. I don't know if you knew that, Nicholas. It's pretty exciting.
Whoa.
Yep. All right. I think we've given the listeners even more than $0 worth this week. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, it's a pleasure as always. It's always good to have a place where I can just talk about my anxieties, like to an audience who I don't have to look at.
That's
so
good.
Thank you. You know, that's you guys as well as the listeners. So, you know, I appreciate that, and great to share some music.
Yes, I'm excited about this. I think I might even go out and buy a physical copy if that's possible here. So
yeah, we know it's out digitally, obviously, here in the U.S. Who knows whether you could actually get a physical copy? Barrett's going to find out.
Let me know if you can't. I will post you one if you can't.
Okay.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Nicholas. Barrett,
no worries.
Thanks.
Great to talk to you guys.
I'm glad Barrett was able to make it over.
Yeah, sorry. I looked forward to spending more time speaking with Nicholas and our listeners, but at least I got a little time in there.
Yeah, it's cool. Good one.
Yep. Okay, let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @willsband. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.
Hey, I can hear Fox.
Oh, yeah, he's out there. He's out there tearing it up.
Is he like 3 now or not quite that?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's 3. He turned 3 in January.
Wow. It goes by quickly.
Yeah.